listening to the Dental Chat Podcast with Dr. Sylvia Lobo Lobo.
Dr. Margaret Macklin went to Auburn University, where she earned a Bachelor's of Science in Biomedical Sciences. She then went to complete her dental school at Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston, South Carolina. It was here under the guidance of her mentor, the late Dr. Carlos Salinas, that she was first exposed to cleft and craniofacial multidisciplinary team. During this time, she began to understand her heart and her passion was in the area of dentistry that involved cleft, craniofacial differences, and special need patients. To further her training, she sought out pediatric residency programs that had the significant hands-on cleft and craniofacial component to the curriculum. For this reason, she was excited to match at NYU Langone's in Providence, Rhode Island residency site. Here, she was fortunate enough to be part of the cleft team at Hasbro Children's Hospital and to learn directly from the creator of NAM, Dr. Barry Grayson. Dr. Macklin is now a pediatric dental faculty at Vanderbilt Children's Hospital in Nashville, Tennessee. Her practice consists mainly of patients that have medical complexities of all kinds.
Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Macklin. I'm really excited to hear what you have to teach us about cleft lip and palate today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Can you please tell us what is a cleft lip and cleft palate and how common is it?
Cleft lip and palate is a congenital craniofacial difference. Craniofacial is just a fancy word meaning that you're born with it. Cleft lip and palate happens when certain tissues of the face don't fuse together properly during development. Lack of fusion then creates an opening between the nose and the mouth. The exact presentation of cleft varies significantly from patient to patient, both in location and in its severity. Formation of the cleft happens early on in pregnancy, usually between the 5th and 9th week of gestation. As far as how common, it occurs pretty commonly, 1 in every 700 live births.
When is cleft lip or cleft palate diagnosed, and what kind of initial difficulties are seen at birth?
It usually can be seen on the 20th week ultrasound. This means that families have about half the pregnancy to prepare. Although there are still some times when it can't be seen until later on in pregnancy, this happens during a sonogram if the baby sometimes has their hands in front of their face, or sometimes a 20-week, exactly 20-week sonogram doesn't happen. Or every now and then if it's very minor, or if it's palate only, it can't be seen until very late or until birth. Difficulties that we see with cleft in the neonatal period often involve feeding. Due to the cleft, it's usually not possible for the infant to close properly around a nipple. Therefore, the negative pressure needed to create sucking motion can't happen. This makes breastfeeding nearly impossible for most children with a cleft, along with feeding from your traditional bottles. Families most commonly need a special cleft bottle that allows for a biting motion to release the fluid instead of purely sucking motion.
Who are the members of the multidisciplinary team that care for children with cleft lip and palate?
Oh, we have so many members on the cleft team. We have surgeons. So there's usually plastic surgery, ear, nose, and throat surgery, oral surgery, sometimes even pediatric general surgery, and neurosurgery. We always have audiology, feeding, speech pathology, a dietitian, social work, pediatric psychology, and genetics. And then from the dental side of stuff, my favorite side, obviously, we always have a pediatric dentist and an orthodontist, and most of the time, a general dentist as well.
Tell us about dental facial orthopedics. What is it, and what are the benefits, and how early can treatment start?
So dental facial orthopedics, and specifically the type which I performed called NAM, short for nasoalveolar molding, is basically a retainer that's worn by the infant, which molds and repositions the cleft tissues so that by the time we go for our first surgery, which is lip repair, the lip, alveolar, and nasal tissues are in a much better position. It is a relatively labor-intensive therapy at the beginning because it isn't the appliance itself that makes the tissues move. It's the weekly changes to the appliance that I make that allow us to gently and very slowly mold the cleft tissues. As for how early, it is very, very young. Best case scenario, I try and take the impression while the baby is still in the hospital after birth so that I can give them the appliance in the next week or two. Ideally, the infant has the appliance and is wearing it properly by week two of life. By properly wearing it, I mean that they are wearing it 23 hours a day until lip repair, which is generally sometime between the third and the sixth month of life, depending on how much molding we need and how severe the cleft is.
Can you tell us how does a cleft lip and palate affect children's teeth?
Sure. Cleft lip and palate affects the teeth at every stage of development. In the early stages, it causes changes in the eruption location and the eruption timeline. Sometimes the teeth will come in early because they're not supported by bone like they should be. Sometimes they come in later because there's insufficient space for all of the teeth to erupt. In and around the cleft space, the number of teeth can vary as well. Children are commonly missing teeth. They commonly have extra teeth. They commonly have the correct number, but the tooth itself doesn't look quite like it's supposed to or it's malformed.
Can you please tell our listeners about the importance of early dental care in children with cleft lip and palate?
Children with cleft lip and palate will have a more complex dental journey than children without cleft lip and palate. It is therefore exceptionally important that they see a dentist early, hopefully around their first birthday. This is partly because children with cleft truly can have dental concerns that need to be addressed at this really young age, but also because the sooner they come to the dentist, the more time we have with them to get them comfortable and get used to us and get used to being in the chair. And they find it fun instead of traumatizing, since their road will be longer and oftentimes more complex than a kiddo who doesn't have cleft lip and palate.
As a child grows, there might be different needs as the teeth and bite develop. Could you tell us about the orthodontic and prosthodontic care?
Yes. A child with cleft lip and palate will almost always need braces and almost always need a second set of braces. This is due to the fact that the upper jaw is not as large proportionally as the lower jaw and therefore usually benefits from palatal expansion in the earlier age bracket of around 7 to 9 years of age. At this time, we will often use a limited set of braces in order to align the front teeth in case they came in a little bit crooked or in the wrong position, which is very, very common when there's a cleft. The earlier set of braces is done at this age so that we can have the top jaw widened and the teeth straighter prior to another surgery called alveolar bone grafting that these kiddos will have around the age of 9. Children with cleft usually will require a second phase of braces after the permanent teeth have come in, somewhere around the age of 12. Everyone's a little bit different, but somewhere around the age of 12. This phase is to align the rest of the teeth properly, and even sometimes a third phase of braces around jaw surgery if we really need to correct the bite. This happens when, even after palatal expansion and everything is aligned, the maxilla is still significantly smaller than the bottom jaw called the mandible. This can result in what's called an underbite or an anterior crossbite that we have to sometimes correct with jaw surgery. Braces, along with the surgical planning of the patient's teeth and models on the computer, allow the orthodontist and the surgeon to work together to put the teeth in a great post-surgical position. So that's sometimes why we need the third round of braces. As far as prosthodontics go, every child is different depending on which teeth are present and which teeth are missing. What I tell my families is that in the end, their child will have a smile that they are confident in. This may involve implants if the bone is strong enough around the cleft space. It may involve crown and bridge. It may involve a removable partial denture. There are lots of options to replace teeth or to restore the teeth that didn't form exactly correctly, even though they're there. But we will decide what works best for them and for their family when we get there. But we have a lot of growing left to do.
Dr. Macklin, any last comments for our listeners?
I think the biggest point that I want to stress here is just that it's super important if you or anyone in your family has a cleft, that you get in to see the dentist, but also all of the specialists early. The great thing about the team mentality is that you have all of us. And the mouth is, you know, just one part of the body. And so having all of us integrated and having all of us together and the team mentality and getting you in early is what really creates the foundation for greater outcomes all along the way. You know, here at Vanderbilt, our team motto is prenatal to prom, which means that we meet you before the baby's born and we are still along this journey with you when you get all the way to high school.
Thank you, Dr. Macklin. That was wonderful information. And I love that you share your expertise with us today and gave us a lot of helpful information.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you to our listeners for joining us today. Please take a moment to rate and review us wherever you get your podcast. If you would like to recommend topics to discuss in this podcast, please visit the website www.dentalchadpodcast.com or email me at dentalchadpodcast@gmail.com. Disclaimer: the purpose of this podcast is to educate and to inform. This is not a substitute for professional dental care or intended for the diagnosis or treatment of individual conditions.